There's a game we like to play on Twitter called Snag, Grab, or Stab. It's just a fun way to highlight baseball catches in the field, but last night might be the first ever snag that prevented a stab. Look at this. What an amazing fan catch at Fenway. And the NBA is in full swing now, but there's one thing I just can't stop looking at. All these coaches are apparently wearing quarter zips. Mina, J.A., Frank, June, let's go around the horn.
June, quarter zip.
That's Jay's look.
So comfortable. So useful. So functional. To wear it with a tie if you want.
Eddie Rosario had himself a day at Dodger Stadium. He started with an Oppo Taco in the second, followed that up with a triple, and when he needed a double for the cycle in the ninth, it was time for yard work. His final line, 4 for 5, 4 runs knocked in, 12 total bases. Good night, Los Angeles. We cannot say enough about the Braves and their midseason outfield overhaul, by the by. It looks like it might be over for Bill Plaschke's Dodgers. In fact, especially so with Justin Turner now out with a tweaked hammy. J.A., can the Dodgers stay alive tonight?
They can stay alive. I think they ain't quite going out like that, and we've seen it. I mean, they really have gotten further than they should have, I think. I don't think they were even supposed to beat the Giants, yet here they are. But we're seeing it's all catching up with them, you know, not having Kershaw going into the playoffs, losing Max Muncy at the end of the regular season, and now Turner, too. Even this deep team with this massive payroll just doesn't have enough to keep up with the Braves.
June Lee?
Yeah, and I think one of the areas where you can see that depth not coming through right now is Trey Turner. He's 8 for 44 in the playoffs, hitting 167. It's been a really, really bad postseason for Trey Turner, and he's been one of the offensive catalysts for that team so far this year. It's really interesting because you look at some of the guys who are performing on other playoff teams in the playoffs so far, whether it's the Red Sox with Kike Hernandez or Jock Peterson with the Atlanta Braves. Those are both guys that the Dodgers decide to let go.
Dodgers.
And so Trevor Bauer was a guy they spent $44 million on instead of spending money on Jock Peterson and Kike Hernandez, and they're performing well elsewhere. Those are two guys that the Dodgers could really, really use right now.
Mina, you're in Los Angeles.
I am, and I'm scared to pick Atlanta for a number of reasons. One is I am in Los Angeles. I feel like the spirit of Bill Plaschke is haunting this studio and haunting me right now. Another reason is we know the history of teams that are up 3-1 in 7-game series. They win 84% of the time. We also know that one of the losers was, of course, Atlanta, the city that has a sordid history when it comes to blowing leads. However, for all the reasons my colleagues state, I do favor the Braves in this one because the Dodgers we see right now are not the same Dodgers we saw at the beginning of the season, hampered by injuries. And the circumstances in this particular game, the Dodgers bullpen versus Max Fried, just got to go with the Braves.
Frank Isola.
Yeah, to save their season, they're going with a bullpen game. We know how it works with the fans in L.A. and the media. They all thought the Bellinger home run right up there with Kirk Gibson was going to be something that was going to carry them over. Then the seventh inning rolls around. Albert Pujols has his moment. He gets a standing ovation as he comes off the field. And then a double play to kill the inning, and then Turner gets hurt. It's all catching up to them. They spent the entire season in a pennant race with San Francisco. They had a great Game 5 last week against them. I think it's all catching up. And remember the whole thing about 3-1. If they win, they're going to have to go to Atlanta for 6-7. Not going to be easy.
Good point. June, how many more games do you think we get in this series?
I think 2. LA wins the next game at home. I think they're going to lose that first game in Atlanta.
Okay, very well. All right, moving on. The Jordan Alvarez Show came through Fenway Park yesterday, and Chris Sale is still having nightmares about it. Dude drove in the Astros' first 3 runs all by himself, and when the Red Sox manager Alex Cora came up for air in the 6th, suddenly it was 6-0, and Boston was staring down the barrel of another game that got away. Valdez threw an absolute gem for Dusty Baker's Astros, who can finish this thing off in Houston on Friday night. June, are the Astros winning this, or are your Red Sox losing it?
The Astros are absolutely winning this right now. You have to give credit to Christian Javier, who came in after Zach Greinke a couple nights ago and pretty much saved the Astros season after Greinke looked really, really awful out of the gates there. But you look at the offense here. I mean, the Astros, despite all the trash can banging scandal, you know, aura that you have around this team, they're still one of the most talented offensive teams in baseball. Yordana Alvarez has been awesome in this series. Jose Altuve was an offensive catalyst for the team. Alex Bregman is still Alex Bregman. This is still one of the most talented teams, despite the fact that everyone hates rooting for them because of that cheating scandal.
Frank Isola.
Yeah, my first show with June, he happens to be right about the whole thing about the, you know, the trash can banging, because they scored 5 runs with 2 outs last night, 7 runs with 2 outs the other night. It's just a team, and remember this too about them. They've won 28 games, postseason games, starting in 2018, 18 of them have come on the road. So there's no trash can banging on the road. So sometimes we get a little caught up and wrapped up in that. And Chris Sale said it perfectly. I was great for five innings. Then the sixth inning rolled around, and I just didn't have it. Houston's got a big-time team. Back-to-back games with nine runs. Tough to beat.
Yeah, under.
Yeah, and you wonder how much of it is the sound of inevitability, to quote a movie that June has probably never seen. But this almost had to happen in a way. The Red Sox came into the playoffs with the highest earned run average of any of the American League playoff teams. So it would make sense that they would start giving up more runs than any other team in the AL playoffs. But it didn't have to be 15 consecutive straight in a row like it was over the last two games. But it's still, this is a regression to the mean, right? And their pitching just wasn't quite good enough. They were able to get away with it for a little bit. Now it's starting to catch up.
Math on you. Amina Kimes, your thoughts?
Yeah, let's talk about regression because, Clinton, there's cold, there's sub-zero, and then there's the Red Sox hitting over the last couple of games. One run in the last 17 innings. That's not sustainable. I do think this lineup is better than that. I also like Valdi in this particular matchup versus Luis Garcia. So if we're just talking about this next game on Friday, I'll take Boston to keep it going, even though I think Houston wins in the long run.
June, what about this series? What about how long do you think it goes?
I think they go one more game. Nate Eovaldi, I think, is going to come out and throw a good outing tomorrow as the Game 6 starter. But the Red Sox have been kind of up and down the entire season. This has been the story of this season where they've been really, really good at their best and really bad when they haven't been on. It's been like Neo in the Matrix seeing all the numbers coming back down to earth.
Oh.
This is the story of the Red Sox season.
A movie June has seen from before 2010. What's going on here? Frank, last word.
Amazing. Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, we talk so much about pitching and, of course, hitting. But you think about the play that Altuve made in Game 3, where that was a routine double play. That changed everything. Kyle Schwarber last night, that would have been big. He drops the ball. So sometimes it's not just pitching and hitting. It's defense. And Boston, defensively in the field, not very good. That's going to catch up with them. I actually think it ends tonight.
All right. Time for some football.
Or tomorrow.
The child detective himself is getting a primetime start tonight. Case Keenum becomes the 31st player to start at quarterback since the Browns' 1999 resurrection because, you know, first Energy Stadium resident Baker Mayfield, well, he's out with a shoulder injury. According to Keenum, quote, "You don't have to get ready if you stay ready, and I've been ready since I got here." Alrighty then. Mina, the Browns are a mystery, riddled with injuries, but can they get a win tonight?
They can. Will they? It's a bit of an uphill battle. First of all, Case Keenum, child detective, Teddy Bridgewater, also excellent name for a children's book main character. But I do favor Teddy in this one. Look, if the Browns are fully healthy apart from Case, I'd feel good about it because this is an extraordinarily QB-friendly system, great offensive line, incredible running back tandem that will not be playing tonight. They might have Jedrick Willis on the left side, but the offensive line has been a disaster, and that's trouble for a backup quarterback against Von Miller.
Jay?
Case Keenum might be ready, but ready for what? He hasn't been a starter since 2019 was the last time he started. Hasn't had a winning record as a starter from 2017, so it's been a while. And, June, I got to say, that Matrix pull from me gets a Keanu Reeves whoa from me.
What are we doing here? Frank Isola.
Well, don't listen to Mina because she's going to tell you that records don't, you know, record as a starting quarterback doesn't mean anything. If it supports my argument, it means something. When he was with Minnesota, he was 11-3 as a starter, and his head coach was quarterback coach was Kevin Stefanski. So guess what? It works.
All right. June.
11-3. They're confident.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything Mina said. I mean, on top of all of that, it's going to be really interesting to see what the Browns do in the secondary because in the last game, they let up 200-plus yards just in possession, and they let up three touchdowns as well. And it's also going to be interesting to see whether or not Odell Beckham Jr. plays because if Case Keenum throws better to Odell Beckham Jr. than Baker Mayfield has, there might start to be a little bit of a controversy brewing in Cleveland.
Mina,
last words.
June makes a great point. To me, this is as much on the Browns' defense as it is on Case Keenum. They need to show up. They added free agents. They have not been playing great.
There's your horn. Time for the break. Who's up? Mina Kimes is up. June Lee's here talking about movies. Case Keenum. Sounds like Encyclopedia Brown. We'll be back with By Ourself.
Good name.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
All night! Say it with me, y'all.
All
night. Number two, we had it last night. Can I interest you in a double OT at the Garden after a crazy end of regulation for the Celtics and Knicks? I know I can interest you in a logo three and a buzzer three. The overtimes were slogs, and the Knicks came out with the win, making many celebrities happy. What do you take away from last night's 58-minute Celtics-Knicks game, Frank?
Well, let's hear it for Evan Fournier, the newest Knick who played for Boston last year for a minute. Not afraid late in games to take shots. That being said, the Celtics needed Jason Tatum to be afraid to shoot. He shot way too much. You have Jaylen Brown coming out of quarantine, spending 10 days, he scores 46 points. And you have Jason Tatum, who's a terrific player. But my man, you're 2-for-15 on threes. It's Jaylen Brown's night. He shouldn't have had 46. He should have had 56. Get him the ball more.
All right, fired up about his next situation. June, your thoughts?
I think we're seeing Jaylen Brown take the next step as one of the faces of the Celtics. There's been all this talk over the last couple of years as Jason Tatum as the face of the Celtics as the franchise guy. But Jaylen Brown has taken a step every single year in improving his game, whether it's three-pointers, whether it's dribbling. And the next step, I think, right now is playmaking. We saw that last night. Jason Tatum missed 23 shots last night, which is the most of any player in NBA history in the last 25 years. I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to need to kind of learn how to play together in order to maximize the talent on the Celtics roster as we move forward into this season.
Adonde.
Great game, entertaining game. I think it showed neither team is quite there yet, right? The Knicks should have iced this one, Frankie, and really put it away. It shouldn't have gone to overtime, let alone double overtime. And June's on to something. Jaylen Brown taking that step. Can he take that final step, though, to beat the guy where he would not have let them lose that game?
Many times.
I'm surprised everyone's focusing on the Celtics. For me, the big takeaway from this game was Obi Toppin. Like, as a Knicks fan, you got to feel really good about what you saw him spelling Randle. I know it was Randle and Fournier who both scored over 30. First time that's happened in franchise history, by the way, multiple players. But seeing Toppin be so active in the pick-and-roll game, looking more comfortable in the lineup, that's really important for the Knicks moving forward.
Frank, the Knicks are a team I believe that you're familiar with. Tell me more about what you saw from them last night.
Well, how about Derrick Rose closing? Julius Randle was terrific. What I also loved about the game, because the minutes police are out there, and you know who you are, seven guys played 40 or more minutes because it was an overtime game. Four of them were with the Boston Celtics. So don't get on Tom Thibodeau about playing guys' minutes.
Minutes police. I like that. I wonder what uniforms the minutes police wear. Anyway, moving right along. Underwear on the hardwood. The Simmons-less Sixers rolled the Pels. The Nuggets avenged their playoff ouster in Phoenix, and there were 20-point wins for both the Spurs and the Jazz. And Zach LaVine getting chesty after a Bulls 6-point win over the Pistons. Quote, this ain't last year. J.A., who impressed you most on night two?
I'm buying Zach LaVine. Guess what? It ain't last year or the year before that or the year before that or the year before that, because the Bulls did something they haven't won since 2016. They haven't done since 2016. Win their opening game, and they did it with defense holding the Pistons to 88 points. Good job, Bulls.
I'll go with the Sixers. This is a meaningful win for them because Ben Simmons wasn't there. He somehow overrides everything. Frank talked about the minutes police. I feel like there's the plus-minus police, always looking at when Ben Simmons is on the floor versus off. We know the Sixers have been the best when Embiid and Simmons both play. So to see them pull out this win without Ben, to see Tyrese Maxey play so well, that means a lot.
Frank?
Well, I think it's the Sixers as well with the way that they played. The fact that they're rallying around this whole idea with Ben Simmons, who today showed up for practice, supposed to be an individual workout, and then took off and went home. But let's also hear it, and you guys from D.C. know this. The biggest name in that organization is Wes Unseld. And his son, Wes Unseld Jr., got his first win last night. Congratulations to him and the Wizards.
Oh, June Lee.
I'm with J.A. here. I mean, I think it's the Zach LaVine show. The fact that he looked way more engaged on defense than he has in a while. And on top of all of that, he's beginning to take the next step, I think, as just kind of the star face of a franchise for the Bulls. I mean, there was a lot of criticism that the Bulls received for matching that contract that the Kings offered Zach LaVine. But we're seeing more depth around him. We're seeing more help around him. I think he's starting to take kind of a next mature step in his career in terms of kind of distributing the ball. And we'll see what happens with all the pieces that they added around him in terms of how they're going to able to distribute those points and just generally kind of move forward here as a team.
So, Adonde, you're telling me the Bulls are a playoff team for sure?
Yeah, in the East.
Okay, all right.
They beat Detroit. Of course they are.
Okay, Frank. Thank you.
Not like last year.
Moving right along. Bob Huggins, founding member of the Quarter Zip community, says he thinks the major conferences in college hoops should split off from the little guys and create their own NCAA tournament. Quote, the presidents and athletic directors that have all the juice, why wouldn't they do it? And then the other people, they can have their own tournament. End quote. Mina, is there any world in which you're buying the idea of taking the Cinderellas out of March Madness?
No, this is a terrible idea. I mean, you mentioned Cinderellas. Huggins is acting like an evil stepsister here because he's speaking out of jealousy, specifically jealousy of college football and all the money and independence over there. Meanwhile, the NCAA tournament is perfect as it is. I don't care if the Cinderellas make it past the first round. The first round is what's incredible about the tournament. Don't mess with a good thing.
Hey, Adonde.
Yeah, I mean, March Madness is the one thing the NCAA gets right year after year.
Yes.
So don't mess with it. Also, I'm team quarter zip. I'm buying his quarter zip, but not the quarter zip with the cutoff sleeves.
I kind of like the quarter zip with the cutoff sleeves, to be honest. It actually adds a little flavor to an otherwise bland piece of clothing. Frank Isola.
Bob Huggins is a very good coach, but he's so way off right here. Number one, every year, there's like 5, 6, 7, 8 teams that make the tournament from these power conferences anyway. The tournament is about the underdog, the Cinderella. And by the way, didn't Loyola of Chicago make it once to the Final Four?
Yeah.
So people root for that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what we like about the tournament.
June Lee.
Yeah, I mean, the Cinderellas are the best part about college basketball. There's no point in getting rid of them. And the only reason there would be to maximize the profits that we would receive from the tournament by having all these major conference teams in there. I think there's no point in moving forward with getting rid of these Cinderella teams and changing the structure, because why fix something when everything is going right? And it has for a really, really long time now.
I totally agree. It does not make sense whatsoever. The best part about the tournament is the front end. And if you eliminate that and have only the other guys, you have no product. Let's be smarter about this. Mina's got 32.
Chaos.
J.A.'s got 20, 28. You got to go home, buddy. Sorry to hear that. Frank Isola, you're still here. In June, go watch a movie. Coming up, Mina Kimes and Frank Isola. Showdown is next.
The best part about this tournament is that I'm in the final. Thank you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
A robust showdown. Kimes and Isola, let's do it. We didn't mention LaMelo Ball and the Hornets earlier. It was a wow game from him. It drew MVP chants. A wow, wow stat line. A wow, wow, wow post-game getup. And a full 4 wow matching Lambo. Ooh. Look at this guy. Mina, is he pulling it off? And how would you describe this look?
I mean, LaMelo's future is so bright. I got to wear shades, literally, to look at that outfit. It is hurting my eyes, but if you play like that, you pull it off. We call it Dominique Wilkins, the human highlight film. My new nickname for LaMelo, the human highlighter, because that is what he looks like in that getup.
The Digger Phelps.
Yeah, I like it. Construction worker yellow. Meanwhile, he was using the defenders as traffic cones. 31 points, 7 threes for LaMelo, who's outstanding. When your boss is Michael Jordan, you're going to dress and drive like that? All right.
The best part about this
is
when he walked off the stage, he was actually had the gait of an actual supervillain.
Strutting.
Like he was going to destroy Gotham. All right, you both get a point.
The mask. Jim Carrey in the mask. That's
showdown number two. Speaking of fashion, WNBA champion and finals MVP Kalia Copper is selling merch with her famous stare down of Sophie Cunningham. Frank, do you like this? And can I put you down for an order?
Now that is name, image, and likeness. Mina knows if that's the NFL, that's a 15-yard penalty for taunting. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But remember, you will play Phoenix next year. Phoenix has Brittany Griner. She could dunk. She might dunk on you and then make her own shirt.
Yeah, truth be told, I don't like this. I love it, and I want it. Someone got me one of those sweatshirts. It's an incredible image. We stand a petty queen. I would love a stare down generally. Do your thing. If you win, you get the right to do that.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
She's a taunter. She's a professional taunter.
Showdown number three.
I mean, did I finally get to meet the boss?
My wife is not home yet, so I'm having to pull dad duty.
Well, this is the best behavior I've seen you on since I've been here. If this is the way it's going to be, I'd like for him to be there all the time.
That was Aaron Suttles of The Athletic and his one-year-old son, Grayson, and of course, Nick Saban. A kinder, gentler Nick Saban. Did Aaron and Grayson just crack the code on how to get the most out of a Nick Saban interview, Mina?
I think Grayson did. I'm so glad we saw the end where he does the dramatic turn to the camera. Find your camera. That's what you got to do. I really like this look into just being a working dad, something we should normalize. Shouldn't have to apologize for it, like the way Saban handled it, too.
Right. Yeah, he wasn't using his son as a prop. That was legit, and that was also multitasking, which I love. And also for Nick Saban, sometimes he's reporters in that kind of setting. Both sides win in that.
Excellent point, Frank. Last one. You know I love the snag, stab, or grab game. How would you qualify this? It's a snag for me, but as I said earlier, it could have been a stab if not for said snag. Can a fan catch be the catch of the year, Frank?
You know, you guys had a video of me avoiding catching a tennis ball at the U.S. Open. Do you think that is heroic what he did? Because, you know, that's a broken bat. That could hurt someone. I give him credit. Some play.
It's absolutely the catch of the year. That dude is a hero. I hope he got something other than just free nachos for what he did there. Just an absolute heads-up play and a reminder, keep your eyes on the field during a baseball game.
Absolutely. And Frank, if you're going to duck out of the way of the tennis ball, you can duck out of the way of a win. Mina,
ooh,
take it.
I have to sell a t-shirt of myself beating Frank today. So Derrick Henry is crushing it, and he is in the MVP conversation. I've been a little bit reluctant to appoint running backs as MVPs in the past, but you know what? I'm sold for a couple of reasons. One, he is doing something historic this year in terms of the volume year after year. Two, he showed up today at Spresser wearing a t-shirt with a picture of a dog, Bam Bam, as part of the Titans Better Cities for Pets partnership. You know I can't resist a guy getting people to adopt dogs. Shout out to Derrick Henry, the king. Shout out to the Titans.
If you haven't seen that t-shirt, you need to check it out. We're going to go with the long toss here, see if we can get it. Crow hop.
Wow.
Ooh, nick the bottom. See you tomorrow, kiddos.
The MVP.
Happy Hour is presented by DirecTV Stream.